Has Jesus touched you? Have you experienced his touch? I want to pray. Let's pray. Precious Lord, as we come here again today, many of us are thankful for your touch, your special spiritual touch in our hearts and lives. And we're grateful, Lord, that we're different people because of it. But I trust there may be some here today who either have forgotten your touch and need to be renewed and to start over again. There's a spiritual dryness there, Lord. Or, Father, there may be some here today that don't know you at all and need to know the love of Jesus and to be drawn to the one who can spiritually touch them and they can be at comfort and hope and peace. Touch them today, Lord. Touch them through me. Touch them as we pray for them. Whoever they are, you know who they are. And we give you praise and glory for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A Christian husband and father realized that as a Christian believer, he had the Holy Spirit dwelling in his life. And he was so thankful. But he had to admit, as he learned about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit, called the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, this power from on high, the anointing of the Spirit, as he learned about this, he learned and discovered and realized and admitted the Spirit did not have him. And that especially was evident in the home. In his marriage, in his family, he realized this, and it moved him, and he was frustrated. And I know I speak for a lot of dads and husbands here today. He wanted to do something about it, and he realized that the secret was that he would allow the Spirit of God to take control of his life. You know what this dad did? You know what this husband did? This husband sought to prepare his life to be filled with the Spirit. He met the conditions. And he asked God, he said, God, I need some reminder. As I walk to the front door of the house, please remind me that you, by the Holy Spirit, are filling me and you're going to enable me to be the right husband and dad that I should be. Give me some kind of a reminder. And God, as it were, in effect, he says, okay, why don't you use the front door? And when you touch the trigger of that knob of the door, then I will remind you. I will remind you of the promise of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Being continually filled with the Spirit. And so he started to do that. And he didn't share a word with anybody, not even his wife. It was just between him and the Lord. But in the meantime, he sought to fill his heart and his life with the Word of God concerning Jesus. That's the secret. And he, at the same time, he sought to have an active faith where he sought to do his part as a husband and as a father. And he trusted that God, by his Holy Spirit, would enable him, fill him, strengthen him when he needed it most. Well, some time went by. And his wife approached him one day and said, dear, I just don't know how to express this, but I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. There's something different about you. And then she began to recount the things that had happened, the changes that she saw and that she liked. And then he shared with her the rest of the story. And this had been happening for 2 months. And God had been doing some wonderful things, little things that happened to be big things in that home, in his life. You see, he learned the secret. He learned the secret. And the secret is that he would be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, a few days later, he was playing with his youngest little baby boy, just a little baby boy, and his 10-year-old boy jumped in the back of him and played and all like that, and they were talking, and the 10-year-old boy says, Daddy, you know, there's something different about you. These last couple of months, I've been watching you, and the way you've been treating mommy, well, I'd like to treat my wife that way someday, too. That's where it's at, isn't it? That's where it's at. God wants to and God can do that in your life and my life as husbands and fathers here today. Do you believe that? As husbands and fathers, I stand here before you, and I have blown it along with the rest of you. I haven't been the type of husband and father that I should be. And even as a pastor, I'm far from what I should be. I've made mistakes. And you ask my wife, you ask my kids, I've made a lot of mistakes. And you ask you as church family members, I'm human. I've made mistakes. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. And I know this. I know that the Holy Spirit, as I allow Him to take control of me, He's doing some special work in me. And I know that He's doing special work in your lives as well. A few Sabbaths ago, some of you don't forget. I know you haven't forgotten, especially the husbands haven't forgotten. We opened our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we discover that what happens when the Holy Spirit takes control of the life of a Spirit-filled wife, she becomes a picture of true submission, Christian submission, as she keeps her focus on Jesus, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the secret. And as the Bible so beautifully tells it, are you there? Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Would you turn there with me to Ephesians chapter 5? And verse 24, we're going to spend some time there. Keep your bookmark. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24 as we begin. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything. We studied that. Now, one pastor of a particular church, a pastor friend of mine, preached a sermon similar to what I even preached 3 weeks ago. And you know something? After he preached that sermon on the importance of a wife being submissive to her husband, the tape ministry, Sherman, the tape ministry was just flooded with husbands to make sure that the wife got that tape and listened to it again and again and again. Well, that same pastor preached the next Sabbath about husband's responsibility in the home. And you guessed it, the wives flooded the tape ministry and they wanted their husbands to listen to that tape again and again and again. Well, our objective today is that we're going to go to the Word of God. Did you bring your Bibles with you? We're going to discover God's will for the husband. And so wives, sit back and listen and pray. And pray. Husbands, it's your turn today. God's will for the Christian husband starts where? God's will for the Christian husband starts where? It starts Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and verse 18. Follow with me. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. It starts there. That's where it starts. And when the husband, you know what happens when that happens? You know what that all means? When this means is the husband who is allowing the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God enjoys doing, that husband will begin to reflect the character of Jesus. That husband will glorify Christ in his actions, in his attitudes towards his wife and his family. Well, with this foundation truth in mind, I want for us to look at now, what is the will of God for the Spirit-filled husband? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, we begin with verse 25. Everybody have their Bibles open? These words. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, and that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Quite a passage of scripture, isn't it? Wives, God's will for you is to be submissive. Christian submission. Husbands, God's will for you is love. Love. Now listen to this. This is vital. This is important here. If we will love our wife as Christ loved the church, friends, are you listening to this? We are going to have no difficulty, no difficulty. The wife is going to have no difficulty submitting to us. Why? Because love's response to love. Love's response to love. Verse 25 says it this way, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, husbands, does that sound like an easy task? To love our wives as Christ loved the church? Now, if you're going to be honest with me, and I am going to be honest with you, that is impossible. That is impossible. I'm a Christian, and that's impossible. It is just as impossible as it says in this passage to sing unto the Lord from our hearts. It is just as impossible to give thanks always for all things. And just as impossible as it is for a Christian wife to be submissive to her husband in everything. To love our wives as Christ loved the church, that is an impossible command. That is, unless, can you fill in the blank? Unless we are allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. I repeat again, it's one thing to have the Spirit, but it's altogether another thing to let the Spirit of God have us. And that's Paul's message. Living the normal, I say normal Christian life is possible if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to do the willing and the doing. Now listen to this. How can a husband, a Christian husband, who is being filled with the Spirit, well, how does he treat his wife? How does he treat his wife? Husbands, are you listening? What does that look like? You know, sometimes we share the ethereal, the, you know, husbands, we're supposed to be loving, but I want to get down to the nitty-gritty. I want to help us to understand the practice of the whole thing. Well, it tells us right here as we begin in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. You notice it there? He gave himself for the church. Christ love. Our Savior Jesus Christ, his love is a sacrificial love. He so loved the world that he gave himself on our behalf. He did that for you and me. That's the gospel. He gave of himself. And I want to stand here before you today and say, that's the key. That is the key, husbands. And brothers, that is the matter of love, of giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves. Not primarily our money, not primarily this gadget and that gimmick or gift. Give of yourselves. That's what our wives really want. When we really get down to it, our wives want you. And all too often we just try to kind of wiggle out of that, you know, and wiggle out of that responsibility by giving them some kind of trinket in order to help them and make them happy, when really what they want is you. Well, maybe you're asking this question at this point, as I certainly did, as I was into this study, studying this and saying, oh God, what can I do to share with my family, and especially these husbands and dads here today, and I'm one. What does your word say? How can I be like Jesus and give of myself to my wife and my family? Make it practical, Pastor Ken. How can I apply this in my marriage relationship? I want to share with you three things. Three things. I want to call it the three T's. And those of you that have the sermon notes, it's all right there. The basics of it is. So you can take it home and review it and pray it over it. The first T. The first of all, give your wife your what? Time. Time. I heard some ladies out there say time. Brothers, it is so easy, isn't it? It is so easy to get all wrapped up in our work. It is so easy to get involved in the excitement of our hobbies and our interests that we fail to give our wives time. There's an old wise man who made this statement. Each day you have $1. $1's worth of time. That's all you get. $1, husbands. $1. And if you choose to spend 99 cents on your work, you still have only one penny for your wife. And you can't expect to have 99 cents for your work and then somehow have maybe 50 cents for your wife. It doesn't work that way. You have only $1. And if you choose to spend 60 cents in your work and 39 cents in that hobby or that particular recreation event you want to get involved in with the guys, you're still going to have only one penny for your wife. That's a good piece of advice, isn't it? Brothers, we are, and I stand before you admitting that we are not supermen. We would like to be. We would like to be that, but it's impossible. We are not. But if we get so totally into our jobs, if we get so totally into our recreation or a hobby, and we're just totally into that, and then we're going to be not going to be able to produce ourselves for our wife. And they want you more than anything else. They want you. Time. It's the first T. Give of yourself. Give of yourself. Lord, that's what your word teaches. How do I give of myself as Christ gave his love for the church? How do I give of myself? Give your time. Give time to your wife. Second of all, give them talk. Have you noticed, men, it is interesting how our wives love to talk. You notice that. It is true. And you know why our gals like to talk? They love to talk with each other. Ladies like to talk with one another. You know why sometimes they're chatterboxes sometimes? It's because sometimes, this is not always the case, but sometimes it's because their husband isn't talking to them. Their husband isn't talking to them. And so they talk to anybody and everybody because that one area of outlet is not working. And so they talk. Talk to your wife. Tell her what you do. And I venture to guess that some wives have no idea what their husbands do. They have no idea what they really are thinking because, well, the Blazers game's on and I've got to watch it. Or maybe the Seattle Seahawks, they are doing so great, I've got to see how they do today. Or you're so involved in your work, you're so involved in that hobby or that recreation, you just, well... But they want to know you. They really want to know you. Take time to talk with them. Pour out your heart to them. Take the risk. And actually, husbands, probe your wife's mind and find out what they're thinking. What they're thinking. Conversation takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Just as it is our responsibility by a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, it takes the work, the faith of work, to get to know our Lord Jesus Christ. God is telling us that we have a responsible part to act in our relationship with our wives. Talk with our wives. A conversation with our wives takes work. Now, I know of one couple I think of that once a week they walk along the beach. They walk along the beach. That's a great place to walk, isn't it? Walk along the beach. Pastor Ken, we don't have a beach here. You're right, we don't. But we can walk around the block. We can walk around the park. We've got some great blocks. We've got some wonderful parks around here. You can walk. We can take our wives out to eat sometime. You know, we can take her out to a nice place. Or maybe even Taco Bell, depending on the good old family budget. But religiously, try to go somewhere. Get away. Yes, get away from the children for a while. Get away from everywhere, everything. And just take the time and talk. And speaking from experience, it's hard. It is not always easy to do. But as a couple, commit yourselves to this regularly, keeping those channels open. Friends, God will bless. God will bless. Our neighbors and our block know us well. We walk around that place again and again and again, but we do our talking. Praise the Lord for our neighbor and neighborhood and their patience with us. And I would like to say that the young couples here today, and young couples who will be listening to this message in the future, as you have children, you say, well, I just can't just get anybody to babysit. You pray about it. I'm volunteering, Annette and I. You call us up. We want you to have that time. You need that time. You need that time to talk and have a relationship with one another. We need to help each other. Amen? Give of yourself. Give your time. Talk with your wife. There's a third T. And boy, do I have a lot of growing to do here. And the third T is tenderness. Tenderness. That's not in your notes, but that's the word. That's the third T, tenderness. Being tender to our wives. And take, for example, the physical aspect of our relationship with our wives. There's an illustration I heard recently that is really very appropriate here. It is a comparison of our physical relationship with that of our consuming of food. Now, I trust that the good majority of us here are vegetarian, and so this illustration, though it may not mention things that are necessarily vegetarian, you're going to get the message, as I sure got the message as I heard this. I want to take an example here. We walk into a restaurant, and the chief cook and bottle washer, no, rather, the chef himself comes out. And he says, oh, you're here again, huh? And he throws down a raw hunk of meat on the plate. Yep, that's right, not cooked, just bloody piece of meat. It just drops there on the plate. And, oh, here's the potato. And I didn't have time to cook the potato, but you just chew on it for a while. And here's a salad, and I'm sorry, we're out of lettuce, but I swept the floor yesterday, and this is what you get. And you look at that meal, and you have the urge to regurge. And so you walk out. You walk out of that place. You really do. And yet, husbands, that is often the way that we approach our wives physically, isn't it? Isn't it? All of a sudden, we come home and we feel the need for some affection, and we're all sweaty and dirty, and we haven't brushed our teeth or mouthwash or anything, and we've been ignoring our wives for the last several days and hardly a touch. And all of a sudden, we grab her and we hug her, and we wonder why she doesn't respond. A good chef is one who early in the day goes out and he picks the choice cuts of meat. Even vegetarians can understand this story, okay? And he sautés all day long the finest sauces and has the potatoes simmering in the right amount and whips up some sauce and the topping on the potatoes and serves it on a beautiful platter, and it's steaming and it's beautiful. And it's very appealing, and you enjoy the meal. And so too, the good husband that takes the time with his wife, a day or two or three in advance, he begins to leave those love notes or maybe a flower or two, or gives her kisses and hugs, that wonderful power of touch, and spends some time with his wife, doing things in the house for his wife, surprising his wife, maybe vacuuming or helping with the dishes or something with his wife. Friends, what's happening? What's happening? We're preparing the meal. And the meal is very satisfying. Take your pick, husbands. But many times I think that we are guilty of presenting a very unappealing dinner. Give of yourselves. Give of yourselves. That is the manner that we give of ourselves in our marriage relationship, like Jesus gave of himself to the church. That is the manner. But notice the motive. Why are we doing this? What is the purpose? with our Bibles open, take a look at verse 27 now of Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 27. What is the reason? That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. This is the motive. Now, the Lord is speaking about the church here. And he's comparing the church to a husband's relationship with his wife. And the Lord gave himself to the church. Why did he give himself to the church? Because he had a purpose. He had a goal in mind. And that is that he would prepare her so that she would be able to stand without blame and spot and without blemish, without wrinkle. In other words, the Lord gave him himself that we would be drawn to his amazing love. Be drawn to his love. Be drawn to this awesome God. And thus, we would reflect his character more fully. Or by beholding, we become changed. Brothers, how would you like to have a wife like that? How would you like to have a wife who is without spot and blemish or wrinkle, who is holy and is appealing in Jesus? How can a Christian husband, this is the question, how can a Christian husband cooperate with the Holy Spirit to help fashion a spiritually beautiful wife? Oh, by the way, it's not just the wife's responsibility all alone. The Lord has given to us as husbands a very important responsibility that as we work with Him, many times it's our responsibility as to why, if our wives are not spiritually appealing, sometimes it's our fault. God is telling us here how we can have a spiritually beautiful wife and how we can be a part of it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, how is it possible? How is it going to be accomplished? Look at it. Verse 26. Here it is. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's the means. Now think about it. This is how. How does a church become cleansed? How does the church become beautiful? With the washing of water by the word. The church is cleansed and is beautified as she is washed by the water of the Word of God. As the church, that's you and me, as we take in the Word of God cleanses us. It cleanses us. It makes us more and more like Jesus. How do we apply this to our lives, husbands? Husbands, our wife will be beautified and cleansed as we spend time ministering the word to them. Pastor Ken, are you telling me that I need to sit down with my wife and give her a Bible study on Leviticus? What do you mean? What I'm trying to say here is that as you fill your life, as you fill your heart, your life with the word of God, letting it settle down in your life, you, husbands, me as a husband, as we take the time and let the Word of God and get to know Jesus in a relationship with Him. How's your time alone with God, by the way? Letting it settle down in your heart richly, submitting to it, applying it to your life. As you are filling your life with God's Word, let its principles be manifested in the way you treat your wife, in the way you treat your children, in the way you do business, in the way you treat one another in the body of Christ, the church. That's what it means. Now, talking about Leviticus, did you know that the book of Leviticus talks about purifications and pollutions of water? Of all things. And it says that if a dead animal falls into a water vessel, the water is polluted. And so they're to break that vessel and the water is to run out. It's polluted. And the same thing goes with a cup. It could be maybe a mouse or a rat that falls in a cup. Oh my. And it's polluted. And so therefore you destroy that cup and just the water just is gone. You get rid of the water. Throw it out. But if there is a continual flow, now hear this out, this is important. If there's a continual flow of water, if there is a spring and a dead animal falls in that spring, into that spring, it is not polluted. Why? Because there's a continual flow of water. Now, think about this. This beautiful illustration right there from the book of Leviticus, how it can be applied to a Christian marriage. If there is a continual flow of spiritual things happening in a marriage, then when death starts to fall in, and it will, problems, defilements, pollution, difficulties, they fall in. They can be cleansed, friend. They can be cleansed, and the marriage isn't hurt. Isn't that beautiful? But if there is not a fresh input of the Word of God in our lives, husbands, if there's not that fresh input of talking with the Lord, if there's not that fresh input of learning and of discovering new ways to make our wives happy and secure and meaningful and taking time with her, then when the death falls in, it's going to be polluted. May I ask you a question? What can a Christian husband and wife do to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to prepare their lives to be under the Spirit's control? That's really what we're asking, isn't it? And practically speaking, that means that that husband and that wife will choose to have a time alone with God, by themselves, all by themselves, where they seek to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, number one. That husband and that wife will also join together, and they will have times when they will pray together, and they will share the Word of God together, some kind of family worship time. And with that spiritual foundation, they would seek to apply God's Word in their marriage. A husband loving the wife as Christ loved the church. The wife being submissive to her husband in everything. That is the lock in the key. Click, and it will work. You know what one of the greatest needs in this world is? The greatest need in this world is to see a right picture of God. Do you agree with that? The right picture of God. And He has chosen marriage, to be one of the main vehicles to do that through your marriage and my marriage. The Lord designed that this in such a way that the world would see a visible, tangible, something they could really understand as to how much Jesus loves the church and how much Jesus loves them. And He's going to do it. He's going to demonstrate this and illustrate this so beautifully through your marriage and my marriage. What kind of conclusions would the world draw in observing your marriage? After 2 weeks of observing your marriage and my marriage, would they say, wow, Jesus Christ is alive in His church. I can see it in the way the husband treats his wife. I can see it by the way that the wife is sweet and submitted to and kind and loving to her husband. I want to become a Christian. Let's pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask each couple here today, silently, not so much to pray, oh Lord, change my mate, but Lord, change me. And for the rest of us, let's pray for the married couples in this church family that they will display Christ's character through their marriage to the onlooking world. And let us end our prayers with a prayer of thanksgiving that God, His command for marriage or any area of our lives is possible when we choose to obey His command. And what is that command? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Spirit." Now, husbands and wives, all of us, I would invite us to pray. Talk with the Lord, and I'll close. Let's pray silently now. Precious Father, we have heard your word today to the husbands, to all of us, and you're inviting us to have a love relationship with you, to readjust our focus away from ourselves, away from our works, our recreations, our hobbies, to spend time with you, and that your life would change our life and help us to be a better dad, a better husband. And Father, we want to say to you openly today, forgive us. Forgive us for our shortcomings, and help every husband here today to realize that this message and this challenge, this command from your word today is literally impossible. It's not going to happen unless they fully say, "Lord, by your Holy Spirit who dwells within me, help me to allow you to take control of me. Come, Holy Spirit." I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.